to The Gut Goddess Show, a weekly podcast to help you create one happier, flatter, and more joyful belly and life. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, a nutrition and functional medicine geek and practitioner. And the thing that I'm into right now is nettle tea. I mean, just love a huge cup of nettle tea. So welcome to this week's episode, and this week I've got a corker of an interview for you where we are talking about how to get unstuck and really how to change our thoughts and how we can change our thoughts and why we are not our thoughts. I know you might be like, Kezia, you've just said thoughts too many times. But this week, I know when it comes to health and nutrition, so often we just want to think about, tell me what to eat, tell me what not to eat, tell me what diet to follow, tell me what supplement to take, done, and then I'll be healthy. But I cannot tell you how important it is to look at this idea of our thoughts and how our thoughts impact our health. And they hugely do. Your thoughts will impact how your brain responds, the hormones that you send out, and a whole cascade of kind of biochemical results in the body. So this week I'm talking with Jane Gray, who's the Unstuck Coach, and she helps people to become unstuck. And I imagine for you listening that is probably an area in your life that you feel stuck with. And I'm guessing because you listen to this podcast, you might feel stuck when it comes to your health. You might feel stuck in your fertility journey, stuck in losing weight, stuck in your relationship with food because you're just constantly binge eating or emotionally eating. And you feel stuck, you get annoyed that you're stuck, you ignore it, and then you just keep on being in that place. And for some clients that I work with or people that I chat to, they've felt stuck for years, maybe 2 years, 3 years, 25 years, like Jane was. Or like I've had clients that have felt, had those health issues, the same fatigue, the same tiredness, the same bloating for like 15 or 20 years, and they feel stuck with it. And you don't need to be. We don't need to be stuck. We can choose to change. We can choose to heal. We can choose to feel better. We really can. It just takes a choice. And that's what we talk about today. And what I'm super excited to share with you in this episode is an amazing process called the Kickstart process that Jane explains to us. That's a really simple way of getting unstuck. It's just a journaling exercise. And as she went through it, I was like, oh my goodness, I so need this in my life. And I've downloaded the PDF sheet so that in my journaling practice, I can incorporate this kind of system of process. Because I wake up and get stuck. I share in this journey about my process of dealing with anxiety and how I've had to change my thoughts around that, around eating and how, you know, we can get really stuck around food and our different thoughts around food. So I'm implementing this process because I know that it has a huge, huge impact. So make sure you listen to this episode in full. Share it with your friends. Take a screenshot if you're listening to this on your phone. Tag me in Instagram at Supernaturally Healthy or in Facebook. Share it with your friends because if you can change your thoughts and become more aware and conscious of your thoughts, you can 100% transform your health, your weight, and your life. I completely believe that. You can. It's just a case of changing the root. And in my entire practice as a holistic nutritionist with people and my online clinical practice of nutrition, I'm constantly looking for the root cause. And if your thoughts are really negative and toxic, then you'll really, really struggle to get the results that you want, no matter how much kale or spinach you're eating. It's really that simple. So I hope you enjoy today's episode and this conversation between me and Jane. It's really, really powerful. It's really fun. Don't worry, we don't get too deep or crazy. And so take notes, maybe listen to it a few times, and I will see you next week for an amazing episode. Before we dive in, I best not forget about my new quiz. Have you taken the quiz yet? I hope you have. I recently produced a quiz because I love quizzes. And I also know that so many people listening to this and so many people that read my blog get totally confused and overwhelmed at how to start. So my quiz is basically about helping you figure out why you feel so crap. So if you complete this quiz, it's really short, it's really helpful. I'll send you a kind of personalized report with my rough summary of what is going on with your body, what could be at the root cause, and what are some of the things that you can do about it. So it's a really simple, quick 5-minute quiz, but the results that you could get could help show you, you know, is it your hormones that are the main problem? Is it digestive issues? Is it your relationship with food? Is it your energy production? And along with some really tailored and bespoke resources to help you with that. So if you haven't taken the quiz yet, then what are you waiting for? Everyone loves a quiz. I sure do. Head to supernaturallyhealthy.org or .co.uk/quiz to find out why you feel so crap. It's a lot of fun. Trust me. Otherwise, onwards and upwards with today's show. So welcome, Jane, to the Gut Goddess Show.
Thank you very much, Kezia. It's lovely to be here.
Ah, and tell us, and everyone listening, whereabouts in the world are you?
I am located in sunny Bradford, which is in West Yorkshire in the UK. So sort of mid looking at the whole of the country from south right up to the north of Scotland, about central and middle, yeah.
Yeah, that's helpful. And have you always lived there?
I have. I'm Bradford born and bred.
I love your accent.
Well, thank you for that, Kezia, because I don't like it.
Oh, do you not?
We never like our own accents,
no,
do we?
It's so true. When I initially started podcasting or doing video content, I really had to get over the fact that I hated the sound of my own voice so much. Because I was like, oh, you sound so like posh and
oh, I wish. I wish that was me.
And I remember once I used to work, I've had many jobs in my life, but I used to work in a deli, and it was like a posh deli, you know, the kind of deli where people would spend like £12 on a tub of coleslaw, that kind of place, which I remember being like, you realize this is just cabbage, guys. Anyway, but that obviously wasn't allowed to say that at the time. No. And I remember someone, because I live in Scotland and in Glasgow, and so, you know, a lot of Glasgow. A true Glasgow accent can be quite thick, and I really like it, but can take a bit of getting your ear used to. I remember a few people asking me, like, have you been to finishing school? Like, is that why you talk? Like, so I was like, oh gosh, no. I grew up in Newcastle. It's not exactly. But I never picked up a Geordie accent. And then when I moved to Glasgow as a teenager, I never picked up a Glasgow accent either. Ooh. I think I just sound like my mum. I think that's mainly.
Yeah,
sound like that's the closest accent. But yeah, I don't think people generally like the sound of their own voice.
I don't think so, no.
Which is odd. But I suppose actually the voice that you hear inside your head is so different to what your voice actually sounds like. So, yeah. I mean, I've gotten used to it now with podcasting and editing the podcasts. I'm constantly hearing my own voice.
Yeah, I've got more used to mine on Facebook Lives and that kind of thing. But it does help actually when you become more accustomed to it.
Yeah, it definitely does. And before we dive in to your journey and what you do, tell us, what is your favourite food right now? What food are you loving?
That's not difficult for me to answer. So my favourite food at the moment is smashed avocado on toast.
Ooh.
So it's mixed with a tiny little bit of, I don't know what kind of oil it is, it's some healthy kind of oil. I know it's oily anyway, but a little bit of oil, some chili flakes, and some salt, and then a poached egg on top.
Nice. Mm. Oh, that does sound good. I know I feel like I've rediscovered poached eggs recently. I just kind of forgot. You know, you get into rhythm, and my husband tends to make breakfast, and he always makes scrambled eggs. And he's quite good at it. He makes a good scrambled egg, does Joe? Ooh. But I just was like, poached eggs, awesome. Mm. But I would never add chili flakes to my avocado on toast. That's
and lemon as well, actually. I've missed the lemon juice, a squeeze of lemon.
Oh, nice. Mm. Oh, very civilized.
Oh, it's very fresh, yes. But I have to say, don't get the wrong impression of me, because I'm not a massively healthy eater, I have to admit.
That's okay. You're allowed. We have a whole range. So far, we've had, you know, healthy people. When I've asked this question, because I ask it to every guest, we've had people, you know, like raspberries and these nice healthy things. And then also just good old fashioned, like Easter egg chocolate. As well. Like, you know, good old fashioned. Any option, any answer is totally fine. And so tell us a little bit about, so obviously those listening know you're a coach, a mentor, and you do training with people. But tell us a little bit more of how you got to where you now are in your business and in the areas that you work with people around.
Okay, so I think I started on the whole self-development mindset journey when I was in my early teens. And I found myself in quite a negative cycle of thoughts, which led to a certain behavior, led to a certain feeling, which then led to a certain behavior. And I've no idea what triggered the opposing thought, but I did one day come out of this this negative spiral, if you like. And I recognized in that moment that whatever we're thinking about has a massive impact on what we're doing and who we are. And I got really curious about it then. So I was always the quirky one of the family, always a bit unusual. You know, I bought magazines that nobody else bought, and I read things that nobody else read. And yeah, I was always known for having sort of going off on a harebrained idea and then, you know, getting fed up of it after a while and coming back. But the self-development thing really stuck with me. So I kind of explored that, not really knowing where to go with it. And I just started making, sort of being interested in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, for those who know what that is. And then I had a significant emotional event, shall we say, in 1985. And that sent me into a bit of a hiatus with the whole learning journey. So my life took a different turn, and I ended up meeting Gary, who was the man of my dreams. I'm still married to him. We're still together. Yay. He's not really the man of my dreams anymore, but you know, that's what time does.
With it.
Yes, bless him. And we got together, and then eventually, you know, a few years later, I had children. So, but 25 years after that, I kind of emerged from this emotional event. It took me 25 years. Because still, it shocks me when I think about 25 years that I spent thinking that I'd dealt with something, and actually not really allowing myself to experience those feelings and emotions that were buried. So 25 years later, out I came of this little shell I was in, and I picked it up again. So I went and did some NLP training, did some coaching training, did master practitioner of NLP, did DISC, licensed trainer training. DISC is a psychometric profiling tool, which is fabulous, very fun and insightful. And then I've also done some neuroscience. So for me, my work is all about helping people to recognize that they have a choice to change, and that's changing the way that they think, which then changes how they feel, which then affects the actions that they take and the results that they get. So it's, you know, all about opening new perspectives. And yeah, I mean, I find it really exciting and inspiring, and I'm very passionate about it. So it is the whole mindset. What we're only ever feeling our current thinking is a saying that I've heard recently from somebody who's on the coaching circuit. So yeah, that's what I do. That's how I got here.
I love it. I love that process. I think there's some really golden nuggets in that. I think just what you were saying about how much our thinking impacts our behaviors. And this, I think that's something that, has an influence in all areas of life. You know, if you're a career, intimate relationships, but especially with health as well, and things that you're eating and your body, but also what you're saying, you know, that significant emotional event, and then, you know, only really coming out or figuring out you need to deal with that 25 years later, I think that's also really common, actually, as well. It's one of those things that you don't. I know for me last year, I felt like I really, at the start of the year, I had that small voice that kind of in my spirit that was like, oh, you should go and get some therapy this year. I've had counseling before, but nothing like too in depth, if that makes sense. But I needed to go have a bit of therapy all around some stuff that happened when I was like 7 or 8 years old. That, and you know, in it all, whatever normal quote unquote worldly terms, it was just around some bullying at school. But actually, I was still carrying a lot of emotional load of that, and it was impacting, it was making me anxious still. Yeah. So I was still having that very highly anxious response to these learned beliefs at that age that were then, as a, well, however old I was, 29-year-old, was impacting my behavior. So it was, because it was impacting my thoughts, so my thoughts were constantly like, go, 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 which was making me feel highly anxious. And then behavior was coming from this highly strong, anxious place, which was actually me, stuff that happened, you know, like 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago. And to be fair, at another point in life, I'll probably end up potentially visiting that again. And do you know what I mean? Just there'll be another nuanced bit that I'm not ready to look at right now. And I will do then. But it is fascinating. And I see that in my clients actually a lot. They can potentially be doing everything perfectly, say with their diet or supplement or whatever it is. And then if you probe and ask, okay, well, what emotionally was happening in your life during this time or when these symptoms started? And often it's like, oh, well, there was a relationship breakdown, a family breakdown, a car accident, was bullied at work, something that can be quite difficult emotionally to deal with. And I think we really underestimate how significant those events can be in our brains and lives.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes it can be linked to, I mean, a lot of the work that I've done on myself has brought up just very innocuous statements or comments that were made when I was a child that were designed to protect me. And actually somewhere along the path in my head, then I've created a belief about what was said, which is completely disconnected to what was meant at the time. It's really, our brains are just fascinating.
It is very fascinating. Yeah. And the power of thoughts. I've been thinking about this, ironically, I've been thinking about my thoughts.
Which is also fascinating that we can do that.
I know, it is. And it's so funny how I'm naturally quite a reflective, thinky kind of person, and my sister, who is a couple of years older than me, is the polar opposite. So she will think externally. Basically, I need to think internally. I'm more introverted. I have my internal world that I organize, and she is basically more extrovert and process things externally. And so we're constantly amazed at each other because she's like, "You've been thinking about that thought for a few weeks now. What?" Where she will be like, have a thought, and then be like, "So, Kezia, I'm thinking about this. What do you think?" And that's literally when she started to think about that thought. So if you're listening to this and you're like, "Kezia, you are insane. You're thinking about your thoughts." Fear not. We're all different, and it's all okay. not everyone has different ways of processing things. But I was been reflecting so much recently on how I've grown up thinking a lot that all thoughts must be true. So if I think something, it must be true. And how I've been wondering and being curious about how many of my thoughts are actually almost energy draining and unproductive, especially having a history of a lot of anxiety and all of that kind of thing. And it's much better now. I wouldn't say it's really an issue now, but just thinking, what are these natural ingrained thoughts that I'm not even aware of that are actually kind of draining me, and I have a choice around them? Because I know that's something you touched on, is this idea of choosing what we think. So can you talk a little bit more into that in terms of people listening? What do you mean by choosing our thoughts more, and how do we get started?
Yeah. So you sort of hit on it, and it is something that's that fascinates me, is that quite often we think that we are stuck with the way we are. We're stuck with the way that we think. And I certainly notice it in my mother's generation. My mother's 87 now, and she'll say, well, I've always thought like this and I can't change. And some people say, oh, I'm just a natural worrier. I can't help it. Mm. And basically, that's how it feels. It feels as though, you know, we're naturally anxious. And I, you know, I've done the social anxiety thing as well. And really, it's about becoming aware of those thoughts. So you mentioned that, you know, you can think about your thoughts, which is, it's a strange thing. So we are not our thoughts. There is something bigger than that, because there's something observing what we're thinking about in our brains. The knowledge that we can do that is actually quite empowering as well. So we are not our thoughts. And if there is a part of us that's watching what we're thinking, then we must be able to change what we're thinking. So it's really about, it's the journey to self-awareness. And we all, you know, we've all got different levels of being self-aware. But I think it's a really important piece of work for us all to do, so that we can thrive in our lives and our businesses and in the choices that we make. So I actually created a process called Kickstart, which takes us through, or takes people through, this process of understanding what their thoughts are, how they're feeling, what that all means. And each of those letters represents a part of the process. And it's a journaling process. It's a guided journaling process. And it just really helps. There are questions on there that help you to really explore what's going on for you. So in terms of, you mentioned your sister and yourself being completely different. So you're very reflective, and your sister, is she quicker to anger, just out of curiosity? Is she?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jess, if you listen. You know it's true.
So generally, those are the two opposing ends of that spectrum, if you like, of emotional regulation. So we've got people who are quicker to anger and quicker to appease, and people who are more reflective. And it's not that either of those are wrong, as you said. It's just what each of us prefer. But sometimes perhaps a different response would be more helpful in a particular situation or environment. So the message here is that we're always regulating our emotions and our thoughts. And we can choose to do that. It can be a conscious choice to either feel or get more emotional about something, or reduce the emotion in a situation to help you to get a better result. So does that make sense? I feel as though I was sort of rambled a little bit.
No, more. I think you explained that really clearly. I think, and it's really powerful, actually. I think the idea that we are not our thoughts, and that actually we begin that process by becoming more self-aware, and that kind of kickstart journaling process. I think journaling is a great place, is a great tool, and not even a place to start. I think it's a great tool just to have. I know for me, I'll know if I don't journal regularly, I'll start to like feel like internally a bit disorganized, mushy in my thoughts. And I know it's because I often just need to do a good old journaling session, and it'll take up a couple of pages. And my husband, he's always like, what have you got to say for like 4 pages? I'm like, lots. There's lots of things to say. And whenever he does journaling, he's always like, you know, maybe a short paragraph of 3 or 4 very articulate, concise sentences. Again, that's just the way his brain works. But so polar opposites. But I think that process is really helpful. And even just the statement of we are not our thoughts is really empowering.
Ooh.
And actually, for those listening, if you know, you might be making a meal or at the gym or at work or whatever, actually just allowing that to sink in can be very powerful, actually. Especially so, there's so many things that we can think in a day and that can derail us often. So I know for me, I had a thought whenever I felt anxiety, I would think that that was a bad thing. So I would be like, I feel anxious. Oh, crap. I really hate being anxious. I shouldn't be anxious. I don't want to be anxious. Anxiety is rubbish. Oh, and now I'm anxious not being anxious. And it would, and so the thought would be about the feeling is that it is bad, and actually realizing, oh, well, this is a feeling. I actually have a choice about how I feel, about what I think about this feeling. And it might, maybe I can think actually that this is, it's okay. It's okay to be anxious. Ooh. That can be my new thought. And that has totally shifted around how I actually approach and how I and spiral off. And I think it's probably similar for those listening. If it's around food, you might have a thought that Doritos are bad and evil, you know, as a food group, they're just like this worst food ever. And, you know, or just food in general or whatever is we can label bad, and we have that thought around it. Whereas actually that, and that often leads to unhealthy behaviors, I think, around food, because if something's bad and you're feeling a bit rebellious, then you just want to do the bad thing and be like, stuff you will. I'm going to go and do what I want. Or you then feel guilty, or you feel as a better person if you avoid it, which is all weird when it comes to food. Whereas actually, if you can just be like, oh, Doritos are a food, and the cheese flavor are quite luminous orange. Like, you can have those thoughts.
Yes.
As opposed to it being bad, it's just like, it's a very luminous food group. That's what I think of when I think of Doritos. I'm not going to say I never eat them, but I just tend to think, oh, they're quite a luminous crisp. It's crispy.
Yeah.
Because you do, when you eat them, you end up with like orange fingers.
You do, yes. Yeah.
Which always fascinates me. So I think that's really helpful. So in terms of your Kickstart program, obviously you've got lots of different steps to that. Can you give us a couple of example steps in that program of where, what kind of process that looks like?
Yeah. So shall I tell you what each of the letters stands for? I've got them written here with a couple of example questions. So the K is to know what's going on for you. Mm-hmm. So that's all the about being self-aware. So it's noticing what's happening. So for example, this morning I woke up feeling quite unsettled. Now, whether I'd had a dream or not, I don't know, but I was feeling a little bit like there was something to be worried about, or like a sense of impending doom. And so I knew I would do my Kickstart process this morning, because that's really the trigger for me to just journal that out. So it's knowing, it's recognizing those feelings when you're just feeling a little bit out of kilter, that there's something wrong with the world. So it's getting really clear what that is. And the I is for identifying the feeling, which might sound a bit strange, but quite often we don't have a huge vocabulary for how we're feeling. So the emotional vocabulary that we use, it tends to be pretty limited. So we have our go-to, oh, I'm feeling angry, or I'm feeling anxious, or I'm feeling upset. But if we really dig a little bit deeper, we can sometimes subset that feeling or that emotion, so that we've actually got a wider range to choose from. So it goes back to the choice. So it's, and I'll give you an example of how to do that. We then check in with ourselves. So that's the C. So sort of getting curious as to where we're feeling those emotions. Is it in our head? Is it, you know, a bit of overwhelm going on up there? Or is it in our heart? I mean, I sometimes say my heart's hurting for, you know, in certain circumstances. Or is it in our gut? And other things that are going on with our physiology, what's that all about? And then we go on to storytelling, my favorite thing, because we do tell ourselves some fabulous stories.
Oh, we do. They can be my stories can be very dramatic.
Oh, and mine.
Like a movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just goes from bad to worse. Yeah. So yeah, getting clear about what are the facts here, and what is the story we're telling ourselves around what's going on. And again, there are some questions to help you explore that. So then we think it through and think it out. That's the T. And here my favorite phrase is, I am only feeling my current thinking. So, and I ask people to just sit with that thought then. So as you said, you know, we are not our thoughts. Just sit with that for a moment or two and see how that feels. And again, there are a few questions to help you and guide you through that little section. So the A is to ask yourself some powerful questions. So here are some of the coaching style questions. So if I'm saying yes to this kind of thinking, what am I saying no to? That's quite a powerful one. What are the facts about this situation and what else might be the truth here? So the R is reflect and review. And we're looking back now at what we've learned in the process so far and picking out some bits that we're surprised at. So when we look back at what we've written, what is it that surprised us there? We also experiment with writing out new thoughts. So you mentioned already, Kezia, about changing our thoughts about something, whether that's a food or you know, situation, is, you know, Doritos are luminous food, you know. Quite luminous there. I'll be thinking that next time I choose some Doritos.
Everyone's going to be thinking, and then munching some Doritos, be like, they are luminous. I didn't know about that.
Also quite tasty on occasion.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially the bit of salsa.
Yeah, absolutely. So making these thoughts powerful and positive. So it's almost a reframing exercise of saying, I am, I have, and I do. And finishing the sentence off. So it's, and you can use those then as affirmations if you want to, if you're into affirmations. And then the T is to take some action. So I think it's Tony Robbins that says, never leave the scene of a decision without taking some action. So you've journaled through all of the stuff that's going on for you and had some realizations throughout that process. And then it's about taking the action. So today when I journaled and went through this process, the action that I decided to take was to do another process that I learned, to look at some of the beliefs I'm still holding. Because like you said, these things, we sort them enough so that we can move forward, but then there's still kind of lurk there. And I think that's just part of being human. And so we just need to do a bit more work on them sometimes. So it's taking action. It could be just going and listening to some music or dancing around the room or cooking yourself a healthy meal. It could be anything, just as long as you take some action to cement that realization about whatever it is you've learned throughout the process. And it's all, you know, this, I don't like people labeling, so you don't like people labeling food as good or bad. I don't like people labeling emotions or feeling as good or bad.
Yeah.
Because they are just feelings, and we are designed to be feeling beings, and it's useful information to us. And sometimes we stop ourselves, so like me in the 25 years after my significant emotional event, kind of, I think of it sometimes like a seesaw. So, you know, a seesaw is absolutely no fun at all if it's just straight.
Yeah, it's actually quite uncomfy.
Yeah, you need to be going up and down a bit to get the full experience. And emotions to me are the same kind of thing. And it's building that strength up. So that pivot in the middle is your inner strength to be able to feel the ups and the downs, but keep firm and strong and powerful while you're experiencing all of that. So, yeah.
That's an amazing process. I love that. I think that, because I know so often with chatting to people about looking at their beliefs and thought patterns around their body or around any area, you know, whether it's friends, clients, whatever it is that people, it can feel really intangible of like, oh, well, I feel like I have these thoughts that aren't helpful and I should change them, but, oh, and people just don't then take any action. Whereas actually, I think that kind of, that step-by-step process is really, really helpful and will be really helpful for listeners actually, because that, and you've made that into a program as well, haven't you?
It's a process. So it's so it's a PDF downloadable workbook.
Oh, brilliant.
For people to work through.
Oh, I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, great. Because I absolutely love it and it just helps me so much, and I've had good feedback as well from other people. But interestingly, I'm a bit of an emotional eater, and I'm going to try this actually when I'm feeling as though I'm
Oh, yeah. That's
eating from an emotional point of view. Because I've got to the point now with this where I can give it a quick run through in my head. Yes. To explore some things, but it's much more effective when you write it out. Yeah. In fact, I was laughing because a few weeks ago I did a similar process, and I thought I was, I don't know, I can't remember what I thought I was feeling, but it turned out to be about some not very crispy lamb chops that I'd once cooked for my dad. And the response I got from him, it was really bizarre. But anyway, all sorts of things come up.
Oh, yeah. That's so true. I love that. No, but it is. And it's sometimes these, when you get down to the root of it, it can be these seemingly random stuff, but it doesn't mean it's any less significant if it has shaped your beliefs and your patterns around things. And I think that's a really helpful process. I'm going to download and get that PDF because I think it, in terms of journaling, just kind of asking yourself those questions, or when you just feel stuck. So often we can feel stuck, you know, whether it be you feel stuck around your job, or you've just binge eaten again and you weren't hungry and you don't really want to, it's a habit, you know, you don't want, and you just end up being like, oh crap, I'm just stuck here. Actually getting a pen and paper, downloading these questions, and just getting used to training your brain to get curious about these things. And you're right. I love this step two of identifying feelings, just to share with people. I may sound like I know these tools, but it's been a really learned process. I remember in my early 20s, I think I was getting some counseling at the time, and the counselor was a bit like, oh, my emotional language or vocabulary was limited to like sad, happy, anxious, or angry. Those are literally the four emotions. And so I printed off a chart of all different emotions on, with different smiley or not so smiley faces, even different faces on, and kept that up on my cupboard wall for ages. And at the end of every day, we'd be like, oh, what emotion do I feel now, so that I could try and increase my emotional vocabulary. And then when I got together with Joe, my now husband, we then, in communicating in our relationship, neither of us were great at communicating emotions because our emotional language was sad, happy, angry, or anxious. And so we both then had these little charts on our fridges. I think my friends thought I was insane, but I'm just, because I hadn't grown up, as great as my upbringing was, I hadn't grown up with a language to identify how I felt. And so I couldn't communicate that, and I couldn't even identify that feeling for myself. So I constantly thought I was sad, but I wasn't sad. I was actually maybe really angry about something, or really resentful, or really confused, or really just suddenly realizing actually to have all these emotions was a simple but really helpful tool. And I think they're like little PDF things that are meant for kids, you know, when they're growing up. What do you feel today? But I was like 23-year-old being like, what do I feel today? I don't know.
But you're right. I mean, and we don't spend time learning the words for our emotions. We just don't do it.
No.
But I'm glad you mentioned the stuck word, because of course, you know, my also known as is the unstuck coach. Mm. So most of the things I do help people to get unstuck in one way or another. But one of the words that was popping up for me when you were going through those things was disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I once went for a coaching session, and it was she was using some photograph cards, and on the back was a word. So eventually she turned over the word, and it was disappointed. And she said, you know, where have you experienced disappointment in your life? And I was like, well, I haven't. You know, disappointed is not a word I use, which rang alarm bells for me. So it was just, disappointed was not in my vocabulary, and now it is.
Yeah.
And I can recognize now where some of those hurt feelings, sad feelings, are actually disappointment. But it's just more information for me then to work on and recognize and get unstuck and move forward with whatever I'm doing. So, just so interesting.
It is really interesting. And how much of, you know, we can often think about the things we want to change, the kind of fruit that we want to see in our lives of, you know, whether it be career or kids or relationships or weight or eating healthy or whatever it is, and how often, there's some strategy that's that does help with that knowledge and expertise, but actually still at a root is being able to have that kind of emotional intelligence, Ooh. Or really emotional in a way, kind of like maturity. And I don't mean that in a patronizing way, but I just don't think it's something we get taught necessarily, yeah. Depending on how we've grown up, or, you know, it's not something necessarily at school we're educated in. And it only really happens if there is some sort of intention into the mix. And so many people feel stuck, I think mm-hmm. people might know that feeling.
Yes. Like
stuck in their eating habits, stuck in their job, stuck in their relationship, it's stuck in with their parenting, even with their kids. Mm-hmm. I've just been like, you know, I've plenty of friends that sometimes feel stuck with their own behavior to their kids or their kids' behavior towards them. And actually mm-hmm. having a system that, to begin with, you know, having a kind of kickstart system. But as you say, as you've used it now, you woke up this morning, felt a bit off. You can easily go through these kind of just like a mental checklist that you can write out, and suddenly, instead of maybe having your whole day spiraled by feeling yeah. a bit, oh, what's gone, you can actually kind of nip it in the bud,
Ooh.
Get to the root, take an action,
yeah,
and deal with it within a short space of time, which Ooh. Is totally revolutionary and helpful, I think. Ooh. So thank you Good. So much for sharing that process with us, Jane.
You're so welcome. It's been a pleasure. Yeah.
Because I have my own little process that I go through, but I don't think it's probably as thorough as that. So I think that would be very helpful, actually.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Go through
just being like, okay. And then it means you don't get sucked in as much to I suppose you just don't feel stuck.
That's it, basically. Yeah.
You end up with a simple action you can take that makes you feel empowered, and you can take it, and
there you go. It's down to that choice again, that choice to change if you want to. Sometimes you might choose. So I might have, if I'd not done the process, stayed in bed all day, and after doing the process, I might have chosen to go back to bed.
Yes.
It would have been a conscious choice rather than just feeling as though I wasn't quite sure what was going on and I couldn't do anything else. So that's the difference. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I talk about a lot actually with emotional eating or comfort eating. Lots of people are like, oh, I comfort eat and it's really bad. And then I'm always like, well, I don't think comfort eating is bad actually. And maybe I should do a podcast just on that. I think it's just more kind of, you just want to be conscious comfort eating, if that makes sense.
Yes.
You've had, you know, there's days here in Scotland where it's just dark all day, it's peeing with rain, and you've maybe had a rubbish day and it's cold and you just think, oh, I really fancy a hot chocolate and a slice of carrot cake. And you can, and you know you don't need it, air quotes, you know, you're probably not that hungry, but cake, it's always room for cake. But you can either go through a process of mindlessly eating it and feeling bad and guilty,
yeah.
and being like, oh, I'm just comfort eating again. Oh, I'm such an idiot. Or you can be like, okay, this is probably a comfort eating moment. Do I want to make that choice? Ooh. Well, yeah, I did have a rubbish day. I would really like a slice of carrot cake. It's really cold. I think it would make me feel a little bit better and be brighten up my day. And so I'm going to do it. And then you do it and you don't have to deal with the guilt around it because you've just been conscious. And it doesn't mean the outcome necessarily changes. And I think that's a really helpful way of looking at it. You might have days where you just spend a day in bed. I did that yesterday morning. I got up out of bed, had breakfast, was like, oh, I feel rough. I'm going back to bed again. I didn't do my, you know, Sunday morning yoga or
yes.
nice walk or anything useful or productive or like the laundry.
Yes.
I was just like, no, I think I just need to go back to sleep or just lie. That's what I'm going to do. And I think that's a really helpful helpful methodology of sharing that and helping people to become unstuck. So thank you so much, Jane. And where can people, if people want to find out more about you, where should they go on the interwebs?
Okie dokie. So they can go to, on Facebook, they can go to Jane Gray Coaching or at The Unstuck Coach. On the interweb, it's janegraycoaching.co.uk. And I do have a Twitter handle, but I'm not very active on Twitter. So it's mainly Facebook and my website that they can find out more information.
Brilliant. And I'll share, for those of you that want to get hold of that kind of Kickstart program and PDF, I'll put a link to that in the show notes. So you can head to that link and sign up and get those you know, we've gone through the system, but it's helpful to have it written down. So I will be going and getting my copy of that, and I highly recommend you do too. Otherwise, thank you for sharing your story with us and your wisdom and your mission, Jane. It's been wonderful to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Kezia. I've really enjoyed it. That's my first podcast done, so thank you very much.
Yay! That's always exciting. Yeah. And for those of you listening, if you have any questions at all, feel free to get in touch either via Instagram at Supernaturally Healthy, or the same at Supernaturally Healthy on Facebook, or you can leave a comment on the show notes, the blog post, and let me know things you want to see there. Otherwise, I will see you next week for another Gut Goddess show. Have an amazing week. Eat like you love yourself and rest when you need it. And I will see you guys soon. Bye.